Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Sean. You're listening to Left Wingers Podcast. We are a left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists.
And this week, we have a special guest on our show who's pre-recorded an interview with us. Ross is back. It's great to have a left-winger back in town, and we hope to hear from him soon. I think it was great to get somebody on, a young activist from Scottish Labour, because I think he gives a fresh perspective that those Westminster folk don't know anything about. So Sean, how's your week been?
Yeah, very slow, not been up to much. Had an eye on the news pretty much all week, to be honest with you, just watching what's been coming out of Westminster, having a bit of a giggle, won't lie.
As the same thing every week, I'd imagine, nowadays.
Yeah.
there you go. So my question for today is, when was the last time you ate a turnip?
Do you know, it's really funny you asked this, because me and my boyfriend were talking about this earlier, and I can't remember the last time I had a turnip. I think it must have been I honestly think it was in a curry.
Ooh,
that sounds really unusual to say.
A veggie curry.
Veggie curry. Yeah, turnip. I'm pretty sure that's when it was, but it must have been at least, what, we're talking 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, a turnip... I just don't eat turnips. I don't know about you, but I'm not going out to eat turnips.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder, I've been asking a lot of people that I've been working with what they use a turnip for, and the answers of people have been sparse, but then the answers of people under 35 have been non-existent, which I think is quite funny. I think it's an unpopular veg. That's become even more popular with our generation, which I always think is very funny. Unless, of course, you are Trez Coffee, in which case a turnip can replace a tomato, which I think is quite a strange... Tomatoes are quite important. You need tomatoes for a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's really base food. But I think, you know, we had a lot of things on the 2023 bingo card, but let them eat turnips was not on there, to be fair to us. We did some wacky predictions for the year, but this definitely wasn't on it. So, what a strange situation we find ourselves in.
Very strange.
But anyway, so Sean, if you were trapped on a desert island and you can only take 3 foods with you, not turnips, what would they be?
Oh, 3 foods. Okay, cheese, because I eat it every day.
Strong out the back there with cheese. She didn't even think about
cheese.
That. She didn't even prepare an answer to this. That just came out of the back, guys.
Yeah, I eat cheese every day without fail. Absolutely love it. Yeah, definitely cheese. I think I'd have to be sensible and say something like bread. I don't know, I could have a cheese sandwich, or maybe if I lit a fire, I could have a cheese toasty. Something sweet, maybe, I don't know, like some chocolate. Yeah, some dairy milk, I think. Yeah, that's a pretty, I could live on that, I think.
That's quite a good, I'm surprised turnips. Yeah. Turnips and tomatoes didn't make you in there. But to be fair, with cheese is a great answer, because there's just so many types of cheese, and they just go with so many things. Like, you can have a sweet cheese, you can have a stronger cheese, you can have smelly cheese.
Brilliant.
Fairy Lee.
I love it.
You can have a Baby Bell. Like, you could just...
That's great. Yeah, why not?
And of course, delighted to announce now the Left Wingers are sponsored by the dairy industry. And... No, but if you're listening and you like cheese, we should call ourselves the Cheese Wingers. I wonder when National Cheese Day is. I'm gonna go away and look up when is National Cheese Week, and we could just rebrand ourselves that week from the Left Wingers to the Cheesy Wingers. I think we do really well.
April Fool's Day would be good.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go away and Google that. That was good. That's a good shout.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's a bit of a solid answer, to be fair to you. I think I don't know what mine would be. I think because I eat an apple every day. That was my New Year's resolution, was to eat an apple every day.
Oh, right.
And I've nailed it so far this year. Like, it's been one of those habits. Yeah, it's been one of those habits that stuck.
Brilliant.
Because before I leave for the day, the night before, I put an apple next to the door. So I just pick up and leave.
That's clever.
Yeah, no, it's a thing about, I read a book about it. It's a whole thing.
Keep the doctor away and all that, you know.
Well, if you throw an apple at a doctor hard enough, it does actually keep him away. So, you know, in a way, you know, they're right when they say that, but not in the
Brilliant.
Way So an apple would definitely be on there, but I just don't know if I like apples really, but I mean, I've committed now and I'm so far in. Like, we've got to February and I'm still doing it. Like, it's March. When you're listening, it's going to be March. I'm going to be basically through Q1 eating my apples.
What kind of apple do you have? Is it red, green, yellow?
I have turnips. Every day I eat turnips. They're turnip apples. They're just the cheap ones I can find. Although I've actually found there's actually a lot of different types of apples. Granny Smith's pretty good.
I like them.
Pink Lady's pretty nice as well.
Yeah.
But it depends on what the cheapest thing I get from Tesco is, because I always forget to buy my apples, and then I have to like get into a habit of buying apples. And then I have now on my debit card statements are apples, which is quite strange.
Oh, like, God. Wow.
So I now buy like 7 apples a week, which is just like completely weird. Anyway, so apples would be one. And then I think I'd have to put in mini cheddars, because they're my favourite type of crisp.
Yeah, I like them. They're very Moorish.
Like a really solid crisp. And at any point in time, I think I can probably just smash at least 500 grams of mini cheddars.
They're brilliant. Like,
at any stage of the day, I reckon if you ever catch me on the spot with some mini cheddars, I think I could I mean, it depends on what I'm doing, but I'm pretty confident I could demolish them.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, within a couple of seconds of you handing me the bag, I reckon I can wolf through it pretty quick. And then what will my last one be? I don't know. I'd have to pick something like a main meal of some sort. Because you went with the cheese toasty, which kind of really fits.
Yeah.
I don't know what my last one would be. I don't know. I'd have to say coffee or something. It's not even a
coffee.
Food, is it? Like, I think we've really exposed like how bad our eating habits are. So nutritionists want to get in touch. None of us have said anything like resembling healthy food, but that's fine.
No.
It's a shame Sean's not on here, because he definitely would have balanced us out, I think, with like sensible, strong suggestions.
Yeah, I imagine he would.
Sean is very much the sensible one of the three of us, I think.
Actually. Yeah.
We very much rely on him for like, I don't think he realizes this, but you know, we rely on him for the sensible view. Brandon, when he was a host, we used to rely on him for the sensible view as well. But
yes.
But Sean couldn't make this recording, so it's just us. Anyway, we're going to put up, I think we'll probably have to put up a poll or ask a Twitter question about what was our favourite, three things would you eat on the desert island. But noticeably, neither of us said tomatoes or turnips. So I think that's really the mainstream media.
Well, there you go.
Overplayed our need to. I need to do it. But anyway, congratulations to Therese Coffey for making it back in the news, for saying something stupid. I think, to be fair, she didn't actually throw anything down herself this week. That was pretty good. And she wasn't caught smoking cigars at a party this week. So to be fair to her, it's, you know, you've just let down by that one comment. just let herself down there. So close to having a faux pas week, but I guess these things happen. You just have to kind of take them into account when you're dealing with the dying days of a Tory government. Speaking of dying Conservative governments, I think we did want to have a little chat about Brexit, because according to Steve Baker, it's now finally happened. Sean, have you been reading what's been going on with Brexit?
My response to Steve Baker is, yeah, if you want. I don't. It makes me laugh when people come out with stuff like this, because it's like, well, what's making you think that then? What's happened? What's occurred? To put it nicely, to make you feel like, yeah, it's over and done with. It's all sorted. Because I can't think of a single thing, like any well-meaning person would say. Yeah, you know, Brexit, it's all done. It's over, you know, it's forgotten about, over and done with, sorted. See you later, mate. I don't really have much to say about it, to be honest with you, because it's just sort of one of those things you just roll your eyes and carry on with your day. But no, I don't know. What do you think?
I think a lot of things. I think I have a huge amount of concerns over Northern Ireland, just because of the peace process and knowing how much effort that took from a Labour government to make that happen and several players around that. And I'm always naturally very concerned when any of that is in jeopardy or any of that is somewhat under consideration, which I think it has been. And I think that's just, Brexit is one of those examples where people just haven't thought through the full consequences, or the politicians haven't fully thought through consequences of the vote. And, you know, I just hope for peace in the region, really, to be honest, whatever happens. And I hope, you know, Stormont's been out of been out of government for so long, they haven't been sitting for a very long time, and you know, with a bit of luck, they'll come back now and they can have, we can actually have a functioning government, which I think would be great, because there's so many people in, you know, in Belfast and in Northern Ireland that rely on the government to work. So you know, would be good if that happened, and if they can keep peace and stability in the region, that would be great. I really enjoyed the comment where Rishi said something along the lines of, I don't want to misquote him here, but it's something along the lines of, Northern Ireland has a fantastic opportunity to be part of both the single market, so to be part of the UK and the EU. And then I kind of wanted to shout at the telly, we did all have that, and then we voted to leave. Yeah. So it's kind of like, but like, yes, we all had that fantastic opportunity, and now only people in Northern Ireland have it. Which I think is, that's a real shame. But you know,
well,
just,
I agree.
I was one of those things, you know, it's one of those things where Westminster just needs to align with what the people on the ground want, and hopefully they can come together and keep the peace, one of the most important things.
Yeah, so sad news yesterday when we saw that former Speaker of the Commons, Betty Boothroyd, passed away at the age of, I think it was 93. Real trailblazer in British politics, and an icon and inspiration for women, especially young women, getting involved in politics and the Labour Party. So, I'd just like to say from us, thank you for everything, Betty. Real inspiration, and yeah.
Yeah, so I actually had the privilege, I actually met her once very briefly at an event, which was at a People's Vote campaign event a few years ago. She was a real trailblazer, a woman who stood up for her values, and one of the original, I think, you know, unfortunately in British politics, we have a thing where we never really pay tribute to people while they're alive. We only wait until they've passed to do it.
Yeah.
And I think Betty was one of those people that actually we should have really made more out of the fact that she was alive and with us when she was, because she just had such a phenomenal impact on British politics. And you know, one of the really lovely things to have come out of the Twitter tributes and the parliamentary tributes have been clips of her slapping down MPs on both sides of the House. I don't know if you watched a few, Sean, but they're absolutely hilarious. And and even you can see on both sides of the House, you know, people are trembling, they're quaking in their boots, and quite rightly so. Being the Speaker of a House is, I think, in any parliamentary democracy is a tough job, let alone the home of parliamentary democracy, which is, of course, is the House of Commons. And I can imagine for any person that's a tough job, let alone for a woman like Betty. But she did it, you know, absolute, a goat of politics, I think, without a doubt. And even there are people, definitely one of the things that have been really nice about the tributes is the people on both sides of the House that have paid tribute, and people of all different political colours. And that's, I think, really a mark, you know, I think that's really a mark of a fantastic, an absolute legend, which is what she was. So, you know, on the left winger's tribute, I think, nicely done. But her legacy obviously lives on, and you know, hopefully those clips now will be there forever. And I know I'll definitely be showing my friends some of them. And also, great, you know, apart from being a fantastic speaker, great entertainment as well. We wish all her family, and we wish them all the best, and we're keeping them in our thoughts and prayers. As you might know, and as left wingers might know, every year we cover the budget. Now, there's two budgets. There's one in the spring and there's one in the autumn. The one in the spring takes place on the 15th of March this year, which happens to be in two Wednesdays' time. And while we're trying to find somebody to come on and talk to us about the budget, apparently all economists are busy, but we're going to try and find somebody anyway. We want to hear from you guys. So what do you want to see in the budget? What's most interesting to you, and what are you looking to solve? Lots of campaigns going on at the minute. Martin Lewis, for example, has got some really good campaign about energy price caps and things of that nature. But my question to Sian is, you overnight joined the British government.
Oh.
You were given £10 million. Spend on whatever you want in the UK. What do you spend it on and why?
Okay, so here's something. I know that Jeremy Hunt is, don't really know how to word this, he's looking at doing like this crackdown-ish, air quotes, thing, like to do with like the long-term sick, and like getting them like back into work, and he wants to like sort out like how like GPs issue sick notes and stuff, and all this. I'm not a fan of any of that, because I think it's quite ableist, and I also think it's quite degrading towards people who struggle with chronic illnesses and long-term health issues, especially when it's been decided by people who quite often don't have those problems, so they wouldn't really know what they were talking about. For me, I think it's really important that we have the right protections in place for those people. I come in under that category. I struggle with chronic illnesses and long-term health problems, so you know, I've been in that position. I know what it feels like. I think that I'd want to put some money into ensuring that those people's lives are, you know, as fulfilled as they possibly can be. They don't have to worry about money. You know, they haven't got like letters coming through their post box, you know, every other day telling them, you know, you need to do this, that, and the other. And they haven't got people ringing them, you know, saying things like, you know, you need to be getting back into work. We just need to be supporting them and making sure that their quality of life is as good as it can be, considering that they've got a long-term health problem. So, yeah, that's what I would do. I know that's a bit niche, but it's just something I'm quite passionate about. So
I love that. That's such a... it's actually really interesting. I think there's definitely a conversation to be had in the Labour Party in the next time we're hopefully in government, how we treat people that are long-term sick or people with chronic health issues, just to make sure, because obviously, you know, if you're really unwell or if a loved one's very unwell, having, you know, red letters come through the door every day or every second day is probably not going to help you. That's really interesting. It's actually a really good answer. I think we'll throw it open as well to the Left Wingers as well. Please write in or send us a tweet, because we'd love to hear what you would want. I always like asking people, because I think 10 million is such an interesting, it's an interesting number because it's enough that normal people understand. So you can do quite a lot, but you can't do that much.
No.
So, you know, it's not billions, not hundreds of millions, but it is enough to make a substantial difference if spent in the right way. And with that, I think, unfortunately, that's all we've got enough time for. But thank you for joining us on the Left Wingers podcast. Sian, it's been great to have you on again. And we're looking forward to speaking with you. Looking forward to speaking with you next week. Left Wingers, thank you so much for all your help. Last week, we were actually in the top 100 government Apple podcasts under the government section, which is amazing. And we're so grateful. And we are only doing it because you are listening at home and you are sharing and you are tagging your mates and you're sending it around the group chat. And please, if you haven't already, just send this podcast to one person you think would be interested. And if everyone does that, we'll definitely be in the top 50 again next week. And that would be the best, because, you know, we've made no bones about it. We are planning a takeover of the world. But the first thing we do, and we just want everyone to whinge on a Wednesday. That's all we want. No, but in all seriousness, if you could like, if you could subscribe, if you could comment, download our episodes and give us a like. We also would love you to write a review as well, if you can. Just telling us how great we are, or saying if you don't think we're great, because we will read them too, and would definitely be great to hear from everyone. Thank you so much for all your support. We really appreciate it. But we've got one final thing to say to you, and I'm going to pass over to Sian to do the honours.
Thanks for listening. Keep whinging, eat your turnips, and we'll see you next week.